It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. This radio show, Mind Your Business, on the legendary 77 WABC, is all about you. Every single week, we seek out and interview C-level executives, business leaders from all industries and ask them the questions that are on your mind. We've covered so many different industries and professions, from leadership, retail, communication, sales, time management, social media, hiring, financial planning, social media, corporate culture. Stay tuned for tonight's edition, where you're certain to gain solid business advice and strategies to get you ahead in today's business world. First, just want to open with a couple of thank yous. Pesach Trapper, the show's producer, thank you. Meira Beitler, Dina Student, and from Bottom Line Marketing Group, and the great folks here at 77 WABC, Jose, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin, thank you for playing a great support role for the show. Also, a special thank you to last week's guest, the Jack Canfield, author of The Success Principles and co-founder of The Chicken Soup for the Soul. That was a great interview. You can pick that up by going to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. All the prior episodes, all the prior shows over the past year are all up there. You could get the interview we had with Joe Hart, president and CEO of Dale Carnegie. How about the interview we had with Dr. Adrienne Boise, the Chief Experience Officer at Cleveland Clinic? It's all there by going to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. Just a couple of other shows to bring to your attention that is really worth listening to. I mean, all of them are, but how about the one we had with Renee Reinsberg, VP of Emerging Products at GoDaddy? He talked about some new technology coming out of GoDaddy. How about the interview we have with James Rosebush, former senior advisor to President Ronald Reagan, author of True Reagan, and Paul Massey of Cushman Wakefield, Matt Sweetwood, social media guru, Dan Sullivan, president and strategic coach, Sylvia DiGisto, executive image consultant. They're all available by going to WABCBizRadio.com. Well, let's get to tonight's guest. My guest here live in studio is Jason Robinson. He is the director of marketing at UPS. Some background about our very distinguished guest. Jason has been with UPS for over 25 years, serving in various leadership positions. Nearing its 109th anniversary, UPS currently has nearly 500,000 employees and services over 220 countries and territories worldwide. In 2015, UPS's revenue was approximately $50 billion, and therefore, we encourage you to stay tuned for tonight's edition, where we're going to cover a variety of subjects, including where e-commerce is headed, innovating to meet your customer needs, and the world of shipping in a very broad sense. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome to Jason Robinson. Jason, thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thanks for having me.
Well, where do we jump in? UPS. Who hasn't heard or hasn't been serviced by UPS? You know what? Let me jump in this angle. The world has shifted because of e-commerce over the last 20 years in a way that it hasn't shifted in the past 6,000 years. How has the decline or the shift from brick and mortar, retail, the way we always knew it, into e-commerce, how has that kind of turned the industry upside down, and how has UPS adapted to that?
Well, you definitely hit on the one of the main points that we look at on a very regular basis. Part of our business throughout the 109 years really revolved around retail quite a bit, and that's kind of a couple of the reasons why we've expanded the way that we've expanded in the past, was to meet the need of some of our largest customers, which were retailers, you know, your Macy's and Federated, mm-hmm. and that world. And obviously that a lot of business-to-business shipments, you know, to supply inventory and things like that within the retail space and in those stores, and that's now shifting, to your point, right? And that's shifting to, your Amazons of the world, mm-hmm. The marketplace hitting consumers, and consumers kind of being enabled to go and get anything they want from anywhere in the world that they want and to have it delivered right to the door versus having to go into the brick and mortar store to get it. Right. So that's the dynamic there. So we're constantly looking at that. I mean, that impacts our business. It impacts our business in a positive way because there's more things being shipped.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge becomes the consumer also wants to figure out different ways to receive the packages as well. And you see a lot of stuff in the marketplace right now when it comes to same-day delivery, last-mile delivery, a lot of disruptors from a small business trying to break into the logistics environment to fill needs where, you know, our industry hasn't necessarily gone yet. So
on that point, I mean, let's face it, we live in an I want it now environment.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the crazy stuff that's coming up. Drones. I mean, how you know, how does UPS view that, or you know, if I may, you know, because we live in a world, right? The person goes online, they click on it, and they keep on checking right online.
Right.
Where is it holding? Where's the truck? Where is it up to? Is it on I-80 yet? You know, how do you see that going forward?
Well, in the drones is an interesting topic, obviously, that Amazon has had a lot of media attention on the drones.
Right.
And they're much more media focused from that perspective. We're probably a little bit quieter about that kind of stuff. But from a technology standpoint, we're looking at all of the emerging technologies and how they play and interact within our business, from self-driving vehicles to drones all of that automation in our operations and our hubs and how we move and manage packages throughout the system. So we're there. We're looking at all that. We're just not real vocal about it.
And it's a great point that you're raising because, as you pointed out so well, Amazon is getting great press from it and attention, et cetera. But, you know, no one in the audience should think for a second that UPS doesn't have their eye on this. On all the technology from self-driving, that doesn't mean – it's just obviously they're not revealing where they're holding with it. But the point is that any major company out there has their eyes on any industry disruptor that's coming up on the radar screen. But that's great. Yeah.
And you got a lot of regulations that you got to deal with there as well. So, I mean, a lot of that stuff is – even though it's emerging, there's a lot of things that have to happen before any of that become a reality. And most people from a media perspective look at it from, you know, a drone's going to be delivering my package. And if you think about that, with the number of packages that are delivered every single day by every single carrier that's, let's just say, the United States,
mm-hmm.
That would be a lot of drones in the air.
Yeah.
Which is not really feasible or rational from that perspective. So it comes down to what's the best and most efficient use of that technology, and how do you integrate that within your operations?
Yeah, it brings to mind, and the listeners are encouraged to tune in, one of the interviews that we had a couple of months back was with Captain Sully Sullenberger, the famous pilot who landed in the Hudson,
right,
who saved the lives of the 155 people. And we talked about drones, and actually it was such a big topic, the New York Post picked it up the next day, and they talked about it. But, yeah, I mean, he talked about, you know, this. And, in fact, a couple of months ago, unfortunately, a drone hit I think it was a British Airways plane going into London. I mean, thank God nothing negative happened. But to your point, you know, right now it's emerging technology. And, you know, the government is kind of just getting caught up with the regulation over there. So.
Yep. And you had the Tesla event with the self-driving thing.
Yeah.
That happened
the car drove under a truck. I mean, that's pretty crazy stuff. But you see how, you know, people get excited about technology, but then there obviously has to be some type of regulation that in order to protect ourselves from ourselves.
Right.
You touched on it, but let's talk about international e-commerce. That's quite complex. Any tips how a small business could deal with that, or maybe from the vantage point of how UPS addresses that?
International is one of our favorite topics. We do like that section of our business. You mentioned 220 plus countries that we go to that we're in. It's a different animal, you know, than domestic shipping, of course, and dealing with it. You've got a lot of different customs regulations. Every country is different, has different requirements and regulations. you got different harmonized codes for different products, and some are restricted, some are not restricted. You got to worry about denied parties that you're not allowed to ship to or sell to, depending on what industry you're in and what product you're selling. So we've offered many tools over the last 5 or 6 years that we've created that, you know, that we call tradability tools that help with denied party screening. They help with understanding duties and taxes and those types of regulations. We've got a completely separate business unit that's one of the largest brokerage units in the world, UPS Brokerage Services. So we broker 99% of the packages that we ship to international countries through that business unit. So there's a lot of things that need to be vetted out from a small business perspective before you go delve into the international world. What you see is typically people will dip their toes with Canada, for example, because that's one of the easier countries to import and export with. Mm-hmm. But there's still regulations there as well. You get time and transit issues. The expectations of consumers there are very similar to U.S. consumers. So that's where it's easy. Your cultural differences aren't as big. Those are areas that people kind of start with. There's a lot of services, and there's even federally funded services that we partner with, like U.S. Commercial Services, which is export.gov, which is a federally funded program that is their sole goal in life is to increase exports out of the U.S. from 51% or more manufactured products in the U.S., right? Try and help. Right. With the trade deficit and those kinds of things. So but that's federally funded. They offer a number of things that help small businesses at reduced costs, you know, trade shows and different type of marketing approaches to go into a particular country. We've also been looking at and actually just acquired a company last year or at the end of 2014 called UPS iParcel.
Okay.
Which is a kind of a it's a deferred type of solution. So it reduces the cost of the shipping going overseas. So that's another way. And then the other big piece of that is trying to really get to a website customization stage where you can get the language to match the language of the country that you're trying to go into. The other big thing is getting landed cost in the checkout process so that the consumer on the other end knows what they got to pay. There's no surprises on the other end where I got to pay duties and taxes when I get it. So a lot of cultural customization on websites, things like that to help spur and entice consumers in the countries that you're trying to market a product into to make that process easier. Because if that process is easy, then they're more likely to purchase from you than your competitors.
Right? Now, let's still stay on the subject of e-commerce just for another moment. Any, you know, from your experience and from being the director of marketing at UPS, any predictions on where the e-commerce world is heading? putting you on the spot?
Okay. I think I've got the standard predictions, right? Okay. It's going to continue to increase.
Yeah,
I believe it's touted to get up to a $1 trillion industry at some point relatively soon in the future. Mm-hmm. You are going to see probably, and there's one stat, and I don't remember where I got it from, but I mean basically said by around the year 2028, around 83% of the population in the world will live in major metropolitan areas, right? So high dense populated areas, you know, very similar to New York City,
right?
But you got 83% of the population that lives in locations like that, right? So as that happens and you create densities within your consumers, then a lot changes within our industry, or has the potential to change within our industry. Because right now we service every address in the United States, for example. Amazing. Right? I mean, it doesn't matter if it's
how remote it is or not.
Yeah. Right? Exactly. We service every single place. Well, and there's different costs associated with delivering there versus delivering, you know, to three people in the city versus the density of where the population is.
Right.
So, I think you will continue to see disruption within our industry as it relates to final mile delivery, how products are purchased by consumers and consumed, and how they transact with those products and companies and how those products are delivered.
Now, before we go to a break, just an interesting question is, and again, I'm speaking with Jason Robinson, Director of Marketing at UPS. Do you find occasionally that the potentially a small business might, you know, it's opening up, it's a small store, they're going to need to do some deliveries, but they're like, UPS, oh, my dream is to have UPS account and deal with them, but maybe it's like they're so big. Do you find that? And then any recommendations that a small business could take in order to interact and leverage UPS's services?
Right. I think the general perception, in my opinion, of course, general perception, though, and from what I experience and hear from different customers that I interact with, is that I do hear customers as they start to get into the mid-size range from the small business. And I'll ask them, you know, how come you're just now talking to UPS? Why weren't you talking to us when you first started your business? And I've gotten multiple times the answer that, well, I just thought UPS was just a little too big for what I needed. You know, I appreciate it's a valuable service, but it maybe it's too expensive, or I thought it was too expensive and you guys wouldn't work with me. So that does happen. We do have focus on small businesses, though. It is definitely an area that we keep an eye on, try to put a lot of emphasis on making sure that we can interact with small businesses very fluidly and can take care of them and treat them just like any other customer. Because ultimately, from our perspective, a customer is a customer. It doesn't matter if they're Amazon or if they're, you know, ABC startup company.
Right. So how would someone go about to be in touch? Is it a website? Is it a 800 number?
I mean, there's multiple ways. I mean, the easiest way is the website, and there's a couple small business programs that are bannered up on the website that are specifically focused on, you know, offering certain types of incentives to small businesses just trying to get started and need shipping options as well.
As we take the just a short commercial break, just wanted to mention to the audience, usually just about every week we have a giveaway of a book. Tonight we're going to be giving away A Climb to the Top. This is by Chuck Garcia. By the way, he was interviewed a couple of weeks ago. His interview can be accessed by going to WABCBizRadio.com. His book, an autographed copy of his book, A Climb to the Top, Communication and Leadership Tactics to Take Your Career to New Heights. All you have to do is send a text to 66866, put in the word bottom line, and you're automatically entered. Again, 66866, put in the word bottom line as one word, and you'll automatically be entered to win a autographed copy of A Climb to the Top. Well, we're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile-friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit websitewithbrains.com. Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile-friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit websitewithbrains.com. The experienced team at Website with Brains will plan, write, design, and program a stunning and informative website that combines simplicity and flexibility. Best of all, Website with Brains can have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Get ready to look great online and take your business to the next level. See some of the attractive, user-friendly sites built by Website with Brains by visiting websitewithbrains.com. Then give Website with Brains a call at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500.
Best Payroll delivers the affordable payroll solutions you need so that you could focus on your business. Today's payroll laws are complicated and constantly changing. Why should you have to worry about keeping yourself up to date with these details when you can rely on Best Payroll's fully bonded tax service to take care of it for you? Best Payroll has been managing the payroll needs of small to mid-sized companies across the country since 1989. Their experienced and dedicated professionals are committed to providing you with cost-effective payroll management solutions. Why spend your time, money, and effort handling your business's payroll when you could rely on Best Payroll to get the job done right at a price you can't beat? To learn more what Best Payroll can do for your company, dial 347-729-2355. That's 347-729-2355. Or visit bestpayroll.net. That's bestpayroll.net. Best Payroll, the experienced payroll professionals.
And we're back. Mind your business right here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. Wanted to mention to the audience, you could follow me on social media. Yitzchok Saftlis, YitzchokSaftlis, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, it's all there. And the big benefit is that you get a inside scoop on our upcoming guests. We have some pretty amazing guests coming up. We have Shep Hyken coming up in the near future, and many other very prominent people. And tonight, we also have an incredible guest. As we do each week, we have Jason Robinson, the Director of Marketing at UPS. And we're having some really incredible conversation here. If you just tuned in, great. If you missed the first part of the show, it will be available usually by Tuesday mornings going to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. And that's where you'll find the podcast, and all the previous shows are available by going to that address. Well, Jason, UPS has been around for 108 years. Maybe we could maybe take a trip down memory lane, you know, how it kind of all started to where we are today. Let's just give a little perspective. I mean, today, 500,000 employees. You started 108 years ago. Wow, you're still around to talk about it. I mean,
it's an unbelievable story, really, because you get James Casey, who's the founder. Jim Casey is another way you can say it. He started in 1907. They started in the old underground Seattle area that used to be there. And he started with him and his brother started with a $100 loan from his dad to start the business and started his American Messenger Company. And there was just a bunch of guys on bikes doing courier business in and around, you know, the city of Seattle. And then slowly expanded from there, and they started getting cars and more drivers and building out and getting rights. The interesting part back then, too, was that it was all about getting rights for interstate rights. Right, going from one state to another state back then, because this was before any type of transportation industry other than the post office really existed. So there was a lot of that. So it was Seattle, California, working with, you know, again, back to Macy's was kind of a big, cause the department stores was really kind of how we branched out of the courier side of it. And then move around and grew from there. An interesting story that I'll tell if I don't mess it up too much, but
go for it.
The one way was one of the first consumer deliveries from department stores for retail going to the consumer's home. That kind of started almost from back in the days with the Model T Fords and everything else. You'd go, family would go to the department store to go shopping and buy clothes, whatever. They wouldn't be able to fit all of their products in their car to get it back home. So that was one area that we kind of stepped in and helped take those packages from that store back to that customer's house, because they had no other means of getting it there, because, you know, if they had a family of four sitting inside a Model T,
you didn't have to get a U-Haul just to hitch up to the back.
There was no SUVs, you know. So that's kind of interesting as well. It really grew from there and just expanded and continued to expand. And really, the culture at UPS is very rooted in the founders of the company and their thought process and mindset and everything else to help the company grow and expanding. And really, if the founders didn't change and continue to change with the times, because you think about 1907 to 1970, right? Yes. How much change happened
even then
during that time, and we were able to keep up with it and stay with it and stay very strong, and really didn't have a lot of competition until probably the mid to late 90s is when we started getting more competition within the ground market. FedEx came in and filled an air niche early on. We did the same thing, and we're basically equal from an air perspective, if not better now. We've got with our airline fleet and everything else, and our Worldport facility is top-notch, one of the world's largest automated logistics facility ever. So just expanded, continued to expand, went into new products. I remember sitting on, and again, this is back in like 1991 when I first started with UPS, loading and unloading boxes. We didn't even have tracking labels on the boxes at that time. Wow. We had just launched UPS GroundTrack, which was a peel-and-stick label that was just the barcode with the tracking number. And that was like this brand new, huge, innovative service was to be able to put a tracking number on a box and be able to track it.
Yeah.
So, and you just look at where we've come in that time frame from, you know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago.
It's amazing. My company started in 92, bottom line marketing. And I remember when the first pouch came out, the padded pouch, the pouch that the label went into, and you stuck that on first, and you start, like, I mean, the way, I guess I was at the beginning of that curve. But yeah, I mean, you talk about it, today, someone handwriting it, the way you would do a regular postal is like unheard of. I mean, you can't even send a UPS that way.
Yeah. I was I'll throw another story in there if I can real quick.
Sure.
Back in 2001, mm-hmm. right? Which not very long ago. This is probably one of my.
Same like, millennium.
I still, when I think back to this, it still amazes me that was not very long ago and what I had to go through. I was in our customer solutions department, so I would go out and interact with our customers mm-hmm. regarding technology.
Sure.
So, you know, we had a particular shipping software that we had out in the marketplace, and we had upgraded. We created UPS WorldShip at that mm-hmm. time. So we launched UPS WorldShip. But the problem with UPS WorldShip was you needed a personal computer running Windows.
Right.
In order
and connected to the Internet.
And connected to the Internet via modem. Right. At a minimum. So I had to go out and part of my job was to convince customers, number one, that they needed a personal computer in their business place with a Windows operating system on it.
So and probably AOL.
So they could not have to hand write out their labels and put them on boxes again.
And it was
extremely difficult. You had small business owners that were just set in their ways, didn't want to change. And it took a lot of legwork to get them to change and get onto WorldShip so that we could automate that shipping process and the label creation process.
Wow. Let's go back to something we touched on earlier, but a radical shift was over the last few years, when online tracking and live maps, certainly enhanced and, you know, the customer experience to the point where today it's impossible to live without it. Maybe tell us a little bit about that. What year did that go into play, and how has that affected shipping today?
And it's actually going on right now. I mean, we've just launched a new service that incorporates live maps to go along with a service that we came out with in October of 2011. So UPS My Choice was one of our first consumer-focused solutions, not necessarily business-focused, but consumer-focused.
Okay.
And UPS My Choice allows a consumer to register for free. And once they register, they can select text message or email as far as their communication method. And any package that's shipped to them via UPS to their house that they register with, whether they ordered it or not, so they might not even know they're getting a package, they will get a 24-hour notification prior to that package being delivered, right? So they automatically get notified. And it typically comes with, hey, you got a package coming tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be delivered within this four-hour window, right? So it helps you kind of plan when you want to be
right.
there. But you can
especially
also
for residential, right?
Right. And but you can also, as a consumer, at that point, once you get that 24-hour notification, you can make changes to your delivery if you're not going to be home or if you have something that you want to tell UPS, right? I mean, gated community, gate codes. You can do garage codes. You can tell the UPS driver through that notification process, hey, leave it behind the back gate, put it behind the flower pot so it's not sitting out in front mm-hmm. for porch pirates.
it's a new term.
Yes. So it gives them a lot more flexibility. They can tell UPS to hold it. They can say, you know what, don't deliver it tomorrow. Deliver it the next day because I'm out of town. I'm on vacation, whatever, right? So you have a lot of flexibility there. So along with the UPS My Choice, and we've got over 22 million registered UPS My Choice users in the U.S. right now. So it's been very successful service from that perspective. The other piece, and we just launched this in July of 2014, was UPS access points. So through my choice, you can also direct your package to a UPS access point, which is a UPS store, and or we've also partnered with different businesses within neighborhoods, right? So like a deli, a pharmacy,
right,
to be able to accept packages on behalf of the customers within a certain radius of where they live. So they can just come get it, and we don't got to try and deliver it three times.
And obviously, that's just affinity marketing for the store itself, because you're getting foot traffic in there, and we get it. In a moment.
So last month, we just launched, in line with those two products, we just launched Follow My Delivery Service, so which is your mapping question that you're talking about. That's literally where, through the UPS app, you can pull up your tracking number, and if it's at the destination point with UPS and out for delivery, you can see the truck, just like Uber-style map, the truck on the neighborhood streets and where it's at. So if they've already passed your house and made an attempt on delivery, then you know that. If they're on their way or where they're at, you can see them. So that is that just launched literally last month.
And wow.
It's continuing. Right now it's just available for our priority products like next day or 2 day or 3 day. But that will be enhanced. I believe it's going to be enhanced this month, and there'll be continuous enhancements to that as well.
Unbelievable where we've gone as people. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be stories of guys flagging down the JC, a UPS truck driver, and say, "Oh, I know my box is on that truck."
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Wow. Any other additional tips? Again, there are many entrepreneurs, small business owners, and many other types of business leaders listening to the show. Any other tips on how to make changes based on customer demands? Because obviously you're doing that based on the feedback you're getting. I mean, it sounds like a no-brainer, but it is based on prior research and years of seeing trends from customers that has that's implementing all these great technologies. But any other tips for a business to meet customer needs and demands?
Well, and I think it always becomes more difficult when you're not in person, right? And that's kind of the dynamic with e-commerce. It's how do I create some type of connection with my target consumer with my product that is creates a great experience,
right?
And there's a number of ways to do that, and it's constantly being experimented with and tinkered with in multiple ways, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of technology out there that you can purchase from third-party software developers and e-commerce platforms that promise the world on those things, of course. But there are it all comes down to what's the experience that you want. We do a survey every year. We've done it for the last 3 years, 4 years, I believe, called the UPS Pulse of the Online Consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's available publicly. There's a white paper on it and a study with infographics and stats and all of that stuff.
Okay.
Talks about mobile usage and shoppers' behaviors. And really what we wanted to do with that survey was identify what were the behaviors that kind of revolved around the checkout cart and the delivery. Right, because that's where we kind of played as a company, and where we can fit in and help create solutions that benefit our customers.
Mm-hmm.
So, a couple of those things, revolve around, and I don't know, it might come up later, but the returns process.
Right.
What different options do you give them at checkout? Do I display time in transit? How many days of processing is it? How is it delivered? When is it delivered? That's where the My Choice piece comes in and the access point piece comes in. Really, it's the concept that we go off of is it's a 3C concept.
Okay.
So it's convenience, control, and choice. And if you can meet in areas all three of those C's for your consumer, then you're going down the right path.
Great. So really, really great point. Again, can you repeat the 3 C's?
Yeah, it's convenience, control, and choice.
Excellent.
So if you give your consumers a convenient way of doing it, right, the study gets into a lot of mobile apps, retailer apps are becoming very, very popular and sticky, right?
Of course.
So it keeps the consumer with you and not on Google or something else. So that's your convenience piece. And then your choice is just giving them choices. So it's not just one product and one color or size, one size fits all, right? They want it in a multitude of different ways.
They want the options.
And then even choice on how they get it. A lot of websites will focus and they'll give you a shipping option. And I was just looking at a couple yesterday. The shipping option, number one, it just says standard shipping.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only option it gives you. And then it says 3 to 5 days time of transit. It's like, okay, well, what if I want it tomorrow?
Right. I'm willing to pay for it. I'm willing to pay extra.
Now I got to, if I really want it and you're the only place I can get it from, now I got to call you.
Right.
You
got to
pay for a customer service rep.
It's
got
to be there on the website.
So
got to be there.
You need to give choices and let the consumer make the decision what they want. And that you might offer standard shipping for free. But if they want it next day, 2 day, or 3 day,
you got that option.
Then you got it. Then they've got that option. They just got to pay for it. Right.
Choice. Right.
So and then control, and that's where the My Choice and the access points and the Follow My Delivery really come into play. Is giving the consumer control over how they receive their delivery.
Right. If they want it at the home, what time, et cetera.
Right.
Wow. I'm speaking with Jason Robinson, Director of Marketing at UPS, right here on Mind Your Business on 77 WABC. We're going to take a short commercial break, but just before I do that, I want to remind the audience, tonight's giveaway is a Climb to the Top, Communication and Leadership Tactics to Take Your Career to New Heights by Chuck Garcia. All you have to do is send a text to 66866, put in the word bottom line as one word, and you'll automatically be entered to win that incredible autographed edition by Chuck Garcia. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Author, radio host, and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis, has written the essential book for the success-driven, fast-paced professional. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is a must-read for marketing your business and building your personal brand. Former U.S. Congressman and media executive Bob Turner describes So, What's the Bottom Line? As a compass to guide the experienced executive or marketing novice through any step in planning or organizing a selling strategy. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores nationwide. Get your copy today.
Did you know that dissatisfied employees cost American businesses over $300 billion each year? Now there's a solution. TeamAhead.co. TeamAhead is a complete solution to help companies of all sizes build a positive corporate culture. TeamAhead helps today's thought leaders make their vision a legacy. TeamAhead's comprehensive approach helps you communicate your vision and engage your employees through many channels, including print, digital, sweepstakes, video, events, social media, and a custom website. Call 800-890-1807, extension 3505 to find out how TeamAhead can transform your business's corporate culture, leading to greater productivity and revenue. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co. Team Ahead will enhance your workplace productivity, boost morale, and successfully communicate your vision. Don't let your company's strongest asset be its biggest liability. Call toll-free 800-890-1807, extension 3505, or visit teamahead.co to fuel your winning workplace today.
And during the commercial break, Matt brought up the great point that came up earlier, point, no pun intended, the UPS access point, which is one of the new innovative features that UPS is bringing to the table, as they bring constantly new features. But Jason, maybe you could talk about it. That's relatively new, and it's such a great idea. It's almost like, why didn't they think of this a while ago? But it's implemented now. Maybe you could talk about it.
Right. So it's funny because, you know, we say it's new, and in the U.S. it's a new concept.
Okay.
But it actually was derived from in Europe, and it wasn't even UPS. It was another company that provided services in Europe, because in Europe, culturally, it's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Very different. No carrier leaves or releases a package on a doorstep to a consumer in Europe.
You got those pirates there, too?
You can't do it, right? Someone has to be present to physically accept the package.
Okay.
So, and it's been like that. I don't even know how long it's been like that. I'm assuming it's been like that forever.
Okay.
Where here, we've been different. We've always kind of driver release packages, and it's been okay.
No signature required, whatever.
So there was a company there called Kiala that kind of started the concept of just being a storefront to accept people's packages from any carrier, right? So UPS actually acquired that company a number of years ago and kind of built off of that technology and that kind of solution that they had already kind of started over there. And that's what prompted the launch of that service in the United States. Now, the difference in the United States is In Europe, it's kind of like it was a storefront that was specifically designed to take packages,
okay.
Like a mailbox, et cetera, right. UPS mm-hmm. store, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So here we do have the UPS stores. We have 4,000 plus UPS stores across the U.S., but it's still not enough density to satisfy the consumer right. market we want to satisfy with it.
Right. Especially even if a company has a UPS store that's 2 miles away, but still when they need that package, it's got to be kind of someone on the block. Someone
right.
that could really just send out someone on the team to go get the retrieve yep. the package instead of getting in the car and traveling.
Right. Well, and in the suburbs, 2 miles away is not that big of a deal because typically you got a car. You right. start looking in the boroughs here in the city.
Right.
It's a little bit different. 2 miles right. away is like another state.
Right. And in New York, I mean? It could be an hour to get
right,
in traffic.
Exactly. So the concept was really the access points we put in have very specific parameters, right?
Okay.
They need to be within a half mile radius of the area that the package was destined for.
Excellent.
So that way it's decent, right. decent within decent
proximity,
walking distance.
Yeah.
We've got weight limits, so you can't right. we can't deliver to an access point if a package is 50 pounds, right,
that's
or over
smart,
over
then
a certain cube size.
High maintenance. Yeah.
Right, and I got to figure out how do I carry
right.
it for
it's
a block.
It's blocking the door right. and whatever. Yeah.
So there's requirements and different things in there that deal with that. But in New York, for example, we've got over 1,000 independent access points in New York right now. The other thing that we just launched in New York, which we launched in Chicago in like 6 spots in Chicago back in 2014, was UPS lockers. So, and the locker concept is not new either.
Right.
Amazon has
all went to high school.
Yeah. Amazon has many lockers.
Yeah.
They kind of started it. Different countries do lockers as well.
Okay.
But it's not real prominent. Again, not real prominent in the U.S. But it's going to build out now. So we're putting in lockers right now in the city here. We're the second rollout, and we're launching.
Chicago.
I think we're launching over 300 lockers across the U.S. As well. So I think we're planned for just over 100 lockers here in the city. And the way the lockers just like an access point, except it's accessible 24 hours a day, right? And you scan your info notice that you get from the driver, or if you're a UPS My Choice member, you can do it all from your mobile app.
Amazing.
And you just scan the mobile app,
so
put
convenient.
Your ID in, make sure it's you. The locker pops open, and you grab your package and go. So,
wild
and it's
stuff.
it's all secured. I mean, we've got TVs on them. I mean, they're pretty fancy looking lockers. I'm pretty impressed with how we branded
so
them
cool.
and how large they are. So,
so cool, and it's so impressive how a company like you said that's around 100 years realizes that it has to be on the cutting edge of technology in order to constantly. Be you know in order to stay relevant actually
absolutely yeah I mean especially with you know there's no more it's not 5 business days anymore right it's moving to 7 business days so there's things along the weekend lines that we're looking at and exploring right now as well and then when you start looking at same day delivery and last mile stuff we've got some strategic investments that have been
wow.
press released as well with Deliv and with Roadie so we can kind of just keep our finger on the pulse of that and see
amazing.
What's going on to make sure that we're not missing anything and to see how efficient it is and how feasible it is if someday that's something that we really want to jump into.
That's amazing. Well, the listeners of Mind Your Business know they always get some they get real treats here and a lot of heads up stuff. We had a couple of weeks ago the VP of Emerging Products at GoDaddy. He was here on the show and also talked about some amazing stuff that was just coming out and stuff that's coming out soon. I mean, it's an incredible technology world that we live in, you know, which is like kind of a no-brainer to even say that. But that's the way it is, and you get to hear it here and Mind Your Business. Let's turn to some of the and this has been in the media. There's been some great implementation of time-saving techniques and procedures that UPS is known for. I saw there was something about UPS drivers avoiding left turns when they can, sliding doors on the passenger side, or you know, kind of buckling with one hand and turning on the truck with the other hand. Pretty incredible stuff. Is it okay if we talk about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, ultimately, you know, the company founders and, I mean, the way the company was built, you know, early on was really from industrial engineers. So it's how do you create the most efficient network from a cost perspective possible to satisfy the needs of your customers.
Mm-hmm.
So we, obviously being a cost-conscious organization, we measure everything down to the how you hold your keys, you know, when you get in and out of the car. So it's that, then that's something that culturally we've is embedded in and ingrained in our what we call our brown blood, right? So and then a couple of things you're talking about probably relate back to Orion, which is our on-road integrated optimization navigation.
Yeah, it was a major story. I think it was in Fortune magazine.
Right.
Or, yeah.
So we launched that in 2013, okay. And I mean, and that's a huge, huge piece of technology on the back end with hundreds, thousands of lines of code. We set up GPS navigation devices on all of our vehicles prior to 2013 to record specific data to be able to pull all that information together to build that system. And that system, ultimately, what it does is it optimizes the route, right? So you get 150 packages mm-hmm. on a package car that's going out. What's the most optimal way to deliver those packages?
People don't realize that makes a big difference. If you can get to three more stops an hour, that's a cost savings to the company and ultimately to the end user. So it's like fascinating the attention to detail, which of course a corporation must do, but it's important even for small business owners to realize this stuff goes on.
Yeah. So example is it runs 200,000 different simulations on a single route.
What? Can you repeat that again?
So 200,000 different simulations on one route.
Wow.
So you think about the back end of that and what that algorithm would look like and how that works. It's
I'm getting a headache.
It's mind-boggling. you know, and that creates the most efficient process. The next evolution of that, and we're probably, I don't even know what percent we are right now. I think we're around 30-40%, maybe 50% fully implemented on that throughout the U.S. With the goal and the plan is to be 100% by the end of this year.
Wow.
So, and really what for us from a cost perspective, it's miles reduction, right? Wow. How can I reduce miles?
Right.
Because every mile.
Wear and tear, gas,
right,
the whole thing.
Everything, yes. So, I mean, you think about it from a sustainability standpoint,
right.
The environment and gas and fuel, all of that comes into play. And as well as how quickly can I get you your package?
Right.
And what's the best, most optimal way to do that? So.
Right. So for the consumer, it's not just the cost savings at some point. It's also, you know, like you mentioned, you know, I want it now. So
right.
Like if it can come, if a regular ground delivery could come at 11 or to 12 instead of 3, obviously that keeps business moving.
Absolutely.
So, wow. And that's why it's interesting. Your tagline had changed a number of years ago. Right. Now, what does it say on the site? The world of commerce. First of all, let me just go to what can Brown do for you?
Right. That's a good one.
That's a great tagline that I mean, always like, you know, what can Brown do for you? It's like, you know, they could do a lot and they do a lot.
Right.
But it's amazing the power of a tagline.
Yeah. And then we had the whiteboard guy for a while in the commercials in the 2000s.
And now on the side of the truck, synchronizing the world of commerce.
Yes.
Right. That's and you see that in all the trucks. Simple. In fact, the new logo is beautiful.
Right.
Talk about logo design, you know, how it emerged from the ribbon. And then it just it wasn't a radical change, but it was something that just reflected exactly what the company was all about.
Yeah, that was under Mike Eskew, who was the CEO at that time. And that was in that 2001, 2002, when kind of that,
right
when the technology was really starting to come in, and play. The newest one, though, is United Problem Solvers. So
nice.
This is the new spin
nice.
And kind of
I didn't
tagline.
Even, yeah, I didn't pick that up.
And it, yeah, I mean, there, it's been, it's out there, but you might not even notice it very well. But, and again, to your earlier point we were talking about earlier from a small business standpoint, that's really geared towards that small business type of business as well.
Yes.
So it's how do we come in and even back to your whiteboard guy, right? I mean, we do a lot with customers that we call whiteboard sessions where we sit down and completely map out supply chain from beginning to end, including customer service, marketing, sales, everything else, finance, you know, how do you pay your bills, how do you communicate with your customers, and where we can help and where we can bring consultative type of leadership to the table.
Well, we have only a couple of minutes remaining. The time goes very fast on these shows because we cover a lot, and we have incredible guests. Again, my guest here this evening, Jason Robinson, Director of Marketing at UPS, the UPS. Just a couple of notes before we go to our final questions. Again, we do have a giveaway this week of the book, A Climb to the Top, Communication and Leadership Tactics to Take Your Career to New Heights. It's an autographed copy by Chuck Garcia. In fact, we had Chuck on the show a couple of weeks ago. Pretty incredible story. He was supposed to speak in the Twin Towers on 9/11, and someone switched slots with him, and he lived. A pretty incredible story. He's a mountain climber, and he's the one of the leaders out at Mercy College in Long Island. Pretty incredible story. His book is available. All you have to do is send a text to 66866 and put in the word bottom line as one word, bottom line, and you'll automatically be entered to win. If you're not a winner, you could easily go to any bookstore. You can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and pick up his book. Also, again, you could follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Yitzchak Saftlis, and then usually you get the inside scoop a couple days prior to the show's airing on who our upcoming guests will be. Well, Jason, and here's a question that I imagine from the UPS side you could tackle. You know, many businesses, and certainly there's some big retailers around here, Adorama, B&H, etc., many offer free shipping for ground. And then, like you mentioned earlier, if they want it overnight, 2 day, they'll have to pay a premium for that. Is there any type of statistics? Do you recommend that? I mean, just from being on the other side, any data on that about companies increasing loyalty and building their customer base by offering free shipping?
That's a very good question, and I don't think there's a solid answer to that. And I think that's something that is still, you know, it's very volatile in the marketplace, and it depends. It depends on the product. Are you on a marketplace? Are you on Amazon? If I'm on Amazon, I expect free shipping. Because, you know, if I'm an Amazon Prime member, that's what I buy into.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it depends. But from a small business perspective, I think it's almost a critical option to offer free shipping. Now, and remember, free shipping is a perception and more of a feel-good thing. I'm willing to – I would actually spend, or I would say consumers, mm-hmm. more often than not, I don't care if it's built into the cost of the product.
Right.
I just don't want to see that separate line item that says I'm paying $10 for shipping, right, or $6 for shipping.
Because the company obviously has to keep track of that. I mean,
well, someone's got to pay for it.
Someone's got to pay for it.
It's got to be in there somewhere, right? Free shipping promos where you have to use a promo code is probably one of the more common ones on the small business side.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good because you kind of limit the exposure of what that free shipping looks like. So there's those things come into play quite a bit, but that really comes down to what is your consumer demographic? What's your relationship with your consumers? Are you trying to increase your market share? Are you trying to retain an existing customer base? You can also build it into a loyalty program versus,
right.
you know
right.
what I mean? Or, you know, there's different ways that you can kind of utilize that as a marketing tool. One thing that's always been interesting to me from a financial perspective
mm-hmm.
is if you do offer free shipping as a marketing tool, then really the cost of that shipping that particular product should, on a financial statement, it shouldn't necessarily go into your cost of goods sold. It should go into your marketing expense, right?
Great point. Right. That's a marketing expense.
So there's different ways that you can utilize that as well to kind of manage your transportation spend, you know, financially.
Great point. Well, Jason, I can't thank you enough for joining me here on tonight's edition of Mind Your Business. As we bring the interview to a close, any final takeaways for the listeners of Mind Your Business?
No, I would just thank you for having me on.
Please. Great perspective.
Appreciate it. Constantly looking to get feedback from our customers. So anybody wants to give feedback, that's it's more than welcome. My choice, anyone wants to sign up for that to check it out, UPS.com/my choice. Access Points is on the website as well. You can see that plastered all over the place there. And check it out.
Wow. Well, that brings to a close another great edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. Again, stay tuned for John Batchelor. He's up next on 77 WABC. And tune in again next Sunday night at 11 p.m. for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.